Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today you are going to listen to the second part of the conversation I had with Brother Amitabh Das Gupta. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and I had the chance to talk to Amitabh sometime in January 2014. Currently, Amitabh is in Australia working for Accenture, a leading global consulting company. Amitabh is someone who had the chance to study in Bhagwan's school right from his class 1, grade 1. 17 years he studied in Bhagwan's schools and colleges. He did his 12th grade, his bachelor's in sciences, majoring in mathematics, and then he moved on and did his MBA, master's in business administration. And after this, for 5 years, he worked in the Bhaktasayak division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. So it is 17 years as a student plus 5 years working in the ashram as Bhagwan's alumnus, working in his institution inside the ashram. During the years he was working in the Bhaktasayak division of the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust, he was one of those who took great initiatives in modernizing the operations of the various projects that the Sadhana Trust is engaged in, like running of the canteens, the telephone booth, the Gokulam, and so on. What I also should mention is Amitabh, during his student days, was one of those who always won the athletic championships. He was sort of an all-rounder who won plenty of medals in 100 meters, 200 meters, 5000 meters, and so on, always. And also a talented orator. He spoke during the alumni meet in Prashanthi Nilayam during the new year, January 1st, 2014. So when I caught up with him after this program in the mandir on New Year Day, he went down the memory lane and he shared his cherished memories of being a primary school student and how Bhagwan so beautifully instilled in him that deep and intense relationship that he cherishes and that he banks upon now, and from which he draws important lessons of life every single day. So the first part was about those initial days in the primary school, and in the second part he goes on to share some more of this profound interactions that he has had with Bhagwan during this long student career. So I welcome you to the second part of the conversation with Amitabh Das Gupta.
And there was a classmate of mine who was admitted in the general hospital in Puttaparthi. Mm-hmm. And he was ill, and he was admitted a week before the 1st of Jan 1994. And he used to send letters to Swami through me. And he used to say, Swami, allow me to come for darshan, please. I'm waiting for a darshan. And his devotion was extreme, like amazing devotion. And I used to think, how can I be devoted like him? There was so much devotion in him, and Swami used to say, no, let's ask a doctor. And the doctor said, no, Swami, he's serious. We cannot really actually discharge him. And it went on, and I used to tell Swami, he cannot come. And I didn't know what was really happening in his mind and other things. So it went on, and after that, I came. On the 1st of January, suddenly Swami told me, go to the general hospital. This was 1st of January 1994. Swami said, go to the general hospital and tell them I am coming. And I ran there, sprinted in there, and I told them that Swami is coming. And they were really overjoyed. And they were so happy. And Swami came there, and Swami asked where he is, and I took Swami to this room, and then Swami blessed him. We spent around 10 minutes with him, and then he came out, and there was this little girl in the other room who was also not well, and a senior doctor said, Swami, can you bless her as well? And so Swami went into that room and blessed that little girl, I think created Vibhuti and other things, and came out, and very casually he came out and asked me to follow him. And we went in through the maternity ward, and there were a lot of new mothers waiting for him. They had divine darshan, a sudden surprise, a gift to them in the new year. And then he asked me to follow him down. And as we came down, and 1st of January happened to be the 15th day, and I forgot about all of that. I never thought that it'll happen, because I've already failed, right? Apparently. Yeah, but I still continued the silence, and suddenly saw me, asked me, go inside the car.
Go inside the car?
Go inside the car. And I was like, are you telling me? Are you sure? I just looked behind, and then Swami said you, and there was another classmate of mine. Swami told him also to go into that car, and we both were in the back seat. And V.K. Narasimhan sir was, Swami asked him, you go in the front seat.
He was the editor of the Sanatan Sarathi.
Yeah, editor of Sanatan Sarathi. And we all went, and Swami said, let's take a ride to the super speciality hospital. And he just actually, he took us around, and then suddenly he asked me, what's your name? And I said, Swami Amitabh Das Gupta. I said, yes, Amitabh Bachchan had come to me when he had met that accident in Cooley incident.
Swami mentioned that. Oh my God.
Very casually, he had come to me and I blessed him. And then Swami took us to the hospital and he came back. And as he came back, he dropped us in the hostel, and then we really forgot about all these incidents. Then almost after 15 years, I bumped into this friend of mine who was there in the hospital, and I asked him what actually happened. And he said that he didn't really sleep that full previous night because he wanted to have new darshan of Bhagwan. Desperately wanted to go to Mandir and have Swami's darshan. The doctor didn't actually discharge him, and he was crying almost all night. And Swami, with so much compassion, instead of him coming to the Mandir, Swami drove down to just see him. He was just a grade 12 student. And he said Swami came inside, and Swami materialized Vibhuti and applied it over his chest. And I think he was discharged the next day or the following evening. And there was this story of this little girl, and we found that Swami had come in a dream the previous night, and Swami said, I will come and see you physically and bless you. And no one really believed it. They said, that's a dream, right? And Swami, so many people get dreams, and this child had that firm faith that, yeah, Swami told me and Swami is going to come. And I still remember when the doctor told Swami, Swami, there is this small girl patient here. Swami just casually went in as if nothing happened. And he just went in, blessed, and came out as if, like, it's just another day in office. And then we tried to really connect those three things. And it was like, oh my God, he allowed me to sit in that car, that part of it, even though I know that I don't deserve it even now. And then how he came to my classmates in the hospital, how he prayed so much, and how Swami came in this girl's dream the previous night, and everything just stitched in together. And that's what was visible to my naked eye. And I'm sure there would have been million other things exactly. Along the way. Swami just filled it. But for Swami, it was never, okay, I did it. I am God. I came in your dream. And that's why I'm coming to you. Okay, you prayed to me in this photograph. That's why I came to you. Or you cried all night. No, it was just subtly. He just does it that way. That's the consciousness with which he lives. Just doesn't acknowledge his...
It just operates.
it just happens.
It's just like the law of nature. So many things, they just happen. What comes to me, you know, when you narrate this incident is, every time I think when we looked at Bhagwan, we saw probably 1 millionth or 1 billionth of what he is and what he was doing.
Because he was doing so many things to so many people. And I'm saying if you interview every person, everyone would have a brilliant experience.
Absolutely. I remember, you know, this was sometime in 2006, 2007, when there was sort of a drop in Bhagwan giving interviews. You know, earlier he used to give plenty of interviews, yeah. And now this was the time when Bhagwan would come and he would just sit in the cyclone hall, bhajans would go on, and you know, so you only had the chance to actually see Swami sitting in the cyclone hall. And, you know, in my monkey mind, I used to think, oh my God, Swami stopped giving interviews. Now what is going to happen? You know, how, why will so many people come? So many, all these distinguished devotees who used to come, you know, used to work so much for his mission. You know, I'm a stupid idiot. I was thinking, what is going to happen? You know, will that guy come? You know, will a tigret come? Yeah, will this person come? That person come? And you know, how, Swami's not, and I told this to my brother once, you know, Swami's not giving interviews, man. I don't know what is going to happen. He said, you know what? He doesn't have to do anything. He just have to come. Just if he's just there, that's more than enough.
Absolutely.
Because you know, later, you know, only later I realized, you know, when I start talking to so many people, because you take the experience, just the darshan experience of so many people. Swami just sitting, but somebody is sitting like 100, 200, 300 meters away.
Absolutely.
And the kind of things that are happening within him.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember like, I'm sitting right under his nose, but I'm not enjoying it because my mind is somewhere. But I'm sitting a million spaces away in the end of the hall, cycle one hall, but I'm in bliss. I think how you tune.
And he's constantly working. He's working overtime.
I think for Swami, my understanding was, physical proximity, I know it's important, but for Swami, it really didn't matter. Because for him, you have to be near in your heart.
Yes.
You have to be, like he used to call all the foreigners far near.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And all of us like frogs, just being close and not really realizing his value.
Yeah. And I think, and that's how perhaps they got most of him.
Most of him, absolutely.
They're growing perhaps spiritually in a much faster pace.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And benefiting from what, as Bhagwan says, and I've come, I give you what you want.
When I'm in with the Australian devotees,
yes.
For them, they say that we don't like, for us, Swami was always there. Like, we do bhajans, he's still there.
He's still there. Like, so, physical form, currently not being there in Prashanti, doesn't really, it's not a very catastrophic event for them because they're always connected to Swami.
Absolutely.
In that manner.
Yeah.
Wow, phenomenal. So, and coming back to your days in the school, I think it was this time that you also went to Kodaikanal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Correct.
So, and Kodai is again another chance of a lifetime. I think if you have...
Absolutely.
If you're a student and you have had the chance with Bhagwan to go to Kodaikanal, and I think that is something that you will trade for anything else in the world.
I think there's so many things to learn from there if you look back. Now I wish I would have written down every bit of information.
Yeah.
Some of those things which really strike me, and there were some very funny incidents as well. There was one incident in which, like, how Swami works, like, one day we were going with Swami in the bus, and Swami came into the bus, and that's the best opportunity, right? All the center of gravity of the bus is near Swami.
Yes.
And I think it was... and Swami, there was those what do you call those fluffy things which they sell in the street?
Candy floss, puffed up.
Yeah. And Swami
pink
said,
in color,
pink in color. Right?
Yes.
Swami said, let's just buy all of them.
Okay.
For Swami, it's just large scale, and he just wants to do it because there are very few people who have concern for others, right? Like he wants to do it to help him.
Yes.
He used to go and ask us to go and buy shawls from those Tibetans because to help them and not to go to the showrooms and buy. So like
the boys, like, they're saying, Swami would say, don't bargain.
Like his concern for people is tremendous. And I think that's one thing we all should really learn. And I'm trying my best. It's so difficult. Sometimes the ego comes into the picture and said, why should I? And it's so much to learn. And that particular day, and Swami bought everything. And then, Swami said, dekho, I don't have pockets, so hamara paas paisa nahi hai, so I can't give money.
I don't have money.
So I've seen him creating money as well, and Swami can do anything, right? And the way he puts us in that illusion and to really actually connect with all of us. And there was a conductor of that bus. I won't really mention his name because I didn't take his permission. And he had money, and I think it was a 500 rupee note, 1,000 rupees something. He gave that to Swami, and Swami gave the entire thing. to that person, and it would have been a very costly candy floss, and Swami got in everything. And the incident just finished there, and we went back into Sai Shruti, and suddenly Swami came down, I think, after the rest part. It was, I think, 2:30 or so, and Swami said, "Who gave me that money in the bus?" And we said, "Swami, he's the person." And he said, "Okay, come here." And then Swami took out, I think, a 500 rupee note, which Swami had taken from him, and another 500 rupee note. It was 1,000 rupee note. Then Swami said, "This is 500 rupee note which you gave me, and this is the other 500 rupee note which is interest."
Oh my God.
And Swami put it in his pocket, and this guy said, "No, Swami, I can't take it from you." Swami said, "No, I have taken it from you." And Swami gave him 1,000 rupee note. Imagine. It's like,
imagine his interest.
Imagine the interest, right? You're getting double, and in, I think it should be some 1,000% in few hours, right? In few hours. And that's the beauty of doing business with the Lord,
with the
because
Lord.
It's just minimum investment, maximum dividend, someone said. And then after that, it didn't stop there. And there was a senior devotee there who said, "Swami, so nice. It's like, I wish I could have given. I could have also got. And Swami, you are so nice, Swami. You just give off." And Swami was so happy. Swami said, "You also take." Swami gave him another 500 rupee note. So Swami gave him also 500 rupee note, and he was also happy. And then there was another devotee who said, "Swami, he just praised you and you gave 500 rupee note. Swami, you are amazing." Like, he again praised Swami, and Swami said, "You also take 500 rupee note."
Oh my God.
And Swami gave him also 500 rupee note, and both of them really didn't really put any investment. They just praised Swami that Swami, "You also take 500 rupee note." And there was then another person who came and said, "Swami," and when he started, Swami said, "Now you guys are trying to trick me. I'm not going to give any more free notes." So it was just a hilarious incident, but if you look back, it had a lot of meaning. Is,
yes,
if you invest your time with God, okay, like what Jesus said, like, he will give you back in huge amounts,
million
things.
But I think, you know, that person, that spontaneous moment, you
spontaneous
know,
moment
to give something, to do something for God,
to really
get an opportunity,
just do it. And I remember, I think, when I was working in the trust, in the ashram, he called us for an interview and told us one thing: if you have a good thought, just do it, and if you have a bad thought, just postpone it. A very beautiful teaching of Swami.
In fact, as you mentioned about this incident of Swami giving back, you know, I am reminded of one interview that we got when we were in grade 12, you know. I'll just mention very quickly, it was basically one idea that, you know, let's offer something to Swami, and then one colleague, one classmate, okay, so he's now a colleague, at that time a classmate, yes, came up with this idea that let's offer Swami a robe and some curtains for his interview room. And so we did all that, you know, and we gave to Swami, and so Swami suddenly called us. We had sent it to Swami, and then Swami called us, and the first question that day is, who is the one, who is the mastermind behind all this, you know, giving all this to me. And so that discussion went on and on, and Swami was trying to extract from us how much each one of us has spent. Okay, so that whole thing went on for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
No one is revealing.
Yeah.
And then finally, because, you know, we were helpless because the interview was not proceeding. Swami stuck on that. You know, I think somehow someone said it is 50 rupees or something that we all have contributed for his robe and curtains. Swami went inside. Swami got a big bundle of notes. And for every 50 rupees, he gave 150 rupees. He gave another 50 rupees. He gave another 50 rupees. He gave another 50
rupees. Wow.
It was 200 rupees.
For everyone.
For everyone.
I think this is a massive, massive lesson for posterity.
Just do, you know, if you do little for him, I think, and as we were discussing, you know, that is the greatest advantage of having an avatar.
Yeah.
You know, you would have heard this in scriptures, but here you had a practical example of how it happens, actually plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when I'm in Australia, when I speak to some of the youth here, so youth there who have just been new to Swami, and one of those questions they always ask is, how do we get that love for God? And I think that was one great thing we got from Swami. Like,
yes.
You see, all our previous generations was only, I think, many of them whom I know, God was only asking and taking and giving and taking.
Yes.
It was more of fear. And,
yes.
And I think with Swami, there was someone whom you could really relate to and whom you could love him
yes,
as
you
God.
Just, you just fell in love with him.
And, and so he really taught us that there is a way to build a kinship with God, like
yes.
how you could build it with Krishna.
Exactly.
How you could love him.
And exactly.
You don't need to really ask anything, but
yes.
you can just love him for no reason.
Yes. In fact, I remember reading a very beautiful quote, you know, they say kids, they like anything, they love everything for no reason.
No reason, absolutely.
And they say, if you can reach that level where you love something for no reason.
Absolutely, because my parents told me that I wanted to join primary school. I had more interest in joining primary school than they had interest in putting me there. Because
mm-hmm.
I just saw it and I just fell in love with it. And as a 5-year-old, and I can't really believe it, I really did that. It's like, not knowing, I just got attracted to it. And attracted to Swami and just, like, we were never told that he is God or anything. We just fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Because he was so attractive. And even if he's a kid now, I've known colleagues whose kids want to join primary school.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, many times, I know, I feel maybe a better way of saying, instead of saying you fell in love with God, we actually rise up in love with God.
Absolutely, rise up in love with God. That's spot on. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So any more moments from that beautiful stay with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal? You probably would have stayed for 30 days, right? In the same building, under the same roof.
So many. Another one which strikes out, I don't know whether anyone has mentioned it, but I, like, everyone takes an incident in their own perspective, and for some, maybe less intelligent people like me, it takes a while to really understand, okay, now I understand that, okay, Swami really wanted this. And this was an incident when Swami one day Swami was having his dinner,
mm-hmm.
and we were around Swami, and we all were actually seated, and there was this cook who was serving Swami chapati.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was serving the chapati, by slip of his hand, the chapati fell down.
Oh.
And it fell down in a place where everyone walked. If I try to visualize the picture for you or draw a picture for you, is Swami is in the extreme corner, and there is a door between Swami's table and all the tables, and everyone walks through that passage.
Yes.
And the chapati fell in that passage where everyone's feet really falls on. And the usual thing is, okay, we have to throw it and get another one. And for some reason, Swami noticed it. And immediately that cook went and changed that chapati and put a fresh one. And Swami went straight to him and said, don't change that. Give me back the chapati which fell on the ground.
Oh.
And Swami took the chapati and put it in his plate. Then came back and he was seeing that everyone is well settled, and he was talking to some senior devotees who were at the first table. And suddenly there was, I think it was the cook or it was a student, like, you know, guys, people love Swami so much, okay, and they can't see Swami having that food. And this boy went and changed that chapati that Swami was not seeing. And he went and changed and put a new chapati, and within a fraction of a second, Swami was turning his back to him, and suddenly Swami turned back and said, go and put back that chapati which fell down.
It was almost like there were eyes behind.
There was eyes behind. And he became very strict. He said, who changed that chapati? Put that old chapati back. And he put that old chapati back. And he ate, and he barely eats, right?
Yeah.
Just ate two chapatis, and one chapati which had fallen down, and one chapati which was there, and he ate the chapati which had fallen down. It didn't end there, and for everyone, it actually ended there. It was a big lesson. My God, Swami is eating a chapati, which has fallen down. That means it's a tough act to follow, really. If anything falls down, we just pick it up and eat, right? And that's not usually how the world works. If anything falls down, we just throw it into the bin. And that was a tough example to follow, but few days later, everyone gets chance to really serve chapatis. And it was my chance, and I was actually serving, and suddenly there was a senior devotee in his first table. I think it was during lunchtime, and Swami asked me to serve a chapati. And for some reason, I tried to take the tong and put the chapati, and that chapati fell outside the plate. And Swami was really furious. And Swami said, "No discipline, what is this? How could you do this?" And I got some thrashing from Bhagwan. And because I really realized that Swami is so perfect, it has to be in a perfect way. You can't escape it. He could be loving, he could be forgiving, he could be everything, but if you make mistakes, small mistakes, he will not tolerate it.
Especially
with guests.
With
the guests and whom he really showcases his students and other things too. And then what happened, Swami said, "Change this chapati." And Swami gave him a new chapati, and we had to throw that chapati out. And when I reflected this back many years later, I think it gave me a lesson. It said, what I took from it was, if you offer something to God, if you act anything centered on Him, He will never fail. Even if you fall down, He will pick it up and He will eat it. But if you do it for the world, if you do it for someone, if you fall, there's no one who's going to come and pick you up. That chapati which fell down, it had to be changed because it was for someone else.
Yes.
But the one chapati which fell down on the ground, Swami just ate that. I think one of the lessons from Bhagwan is, what I can take home is, we should act centered on Him. That's one thing which He really insisted and persisted. I remember once I asked Him a stupid question. I was sitting around Him in the interview room, and I told Swami, "I sleep off in study hours. What do I do?" Can you imagine?
This is dear school days.
School days. I asked Him, "Swami, I sleep off in study hours, so what do I do?" And Swami said, "Just study for Me, and you will not sleep." Do it for Me. As simple as that.
Wow.
Just do it for Me. And He used to give examples, even in His discourses, and even personally, He used to say, like, give Me your bad thoughts. Yes. I don't want the good thoughts. Just give Me your bad thoughts. Think of Me when you're having any bad thought. It's like this old 500 rupee note.
Yes.
You give Me a new 500, I'll give you a new 500 rupee note.
Like, you give Me all the coins and...
All the coins. Like, he told it so many times, mm-hmm. right? I don't think so. I haven't read it in any, even in any scriptures or any Bhagavata or anywhere where someone really said that. You give Me your bad thought. You give Me your bad. We always try to offer good things to Swami. He asks, "I don't need all those good things. I already have all of them. You give Me your bad things. Give Me your bad." So it's like, wow. It's like He just wanted us to be centered on Him.
Well, I think that is such a profound lesson. You know, you study for Me. And I think once you start doing things out of love for God.
Absolutely.
I think the whole color of the thing changes, the approach changes, outcome changes.
Absolutely. Like, even when I left the portals of the organization, and also from Swami's school and institutions, if you do it from Him, the outcome is totally sublime and beautiful.
Even in your professional life?
Professional life. But
tell me, Amitabh, that's really,
it's really
since
excellent.
You're touching on this, I mean, how can someone would definitely ask, like, I'm working for my boss, okay? My boss has asked me to do all these things, and I'm really actually, at a practical level, I'm actually working for the boss. Now, how can I really work for Swami when I'm doing this job?
Absolutely. I think Swami had spoken to the MBA boys on this. And Swami said, your boss is also Swami. Your boss is also Swami, and you are also Swami. And even if your boss ill-treats you, or if he's unreasonable, he may be the bad Swami, but you be the good Swami. And you think that you are doing it for Swami. You're not doing it for the boss. And you will automatically get excellence. Believe you me, I have tried this. Excellence is that you do it for him. And you know what Swami wants. You know, like, when he sees a drama, he tweaks here and there, this and this. If he makes a building, he tweaks it here and there. He demolishes a building if it is not good, as constructs a new one.
Yes.
How perfect, if you have really worked closely with him, everyone knows that how perfect he wants things. And if you want to, like, work with him, you want to do it for him, that's excellence. Like, I'm working for a firm called Accenture, and it's like the world's best, one of the world's best consultancy firms, and you can't make a mistake, can't make a spelling mistake to a client or anything, because you're paid the big bucks. You have to be perfect, and they give you unreasonable deadlines, and because you have to do the stuff which they can't do. So the best way to take out stress is you're doing it for Swami. It makes your mind calm down.
Wow.
And I've also heard it from many of the ex-students as well. It's not that I've heard it, I'm just doing it on my own, but it's like, I've heard it even on Radio Sai, and I've learned from all the interviews I've heard, and it's such a refreshing thing when you hear that suddenly in the morning, and this is how you're doing it.
Yeah, I think one thing definitely which I have also felt and have heard it many times during conversations with many former students is that every student who leaves the portals of this institute has that self-confidence, you know. By self-confidence, I mean capital S. You know, every time everyone feels that, you know, come what may, there is something to hold on to. And that really gives you that extra to go out and just perform.
Absolutely.
And I think especially in challenging situations, and you're saying, and especially since you're working for such a reputed firm and consulting, as you said, you have to perhaps all the time think out of the box, think of solutions.
Absolutely.
where so many people have not come up with any solutions, and this is a time when you have to perhaps depend on some higher intelligence to guide you.
Absolutely.
So what are these other things that you learned here during your MBA days, Amitabh, that you think is really now helping you in your professional career? And you're someone who actually moved to management from mathematics, and so someone who always wanted to get into this area of business and management, and now you are in such a prestigious software company, managing so many clients. So what are those aspects of the management's training here that you received that you think is really helping you in the tough world out there?
I think the greatest is Swami's having that, having interaction with Swami, and Swami speaking to the boys, speaking to MBA boys. And they are two things. There are so many things you could pick out which could really help you in your day-to-day lives. But two things which really helped me as such from my personal experience was, one of them was the I Am principle, which Swami really talks about.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened even in Kodaikanal once, where suddenly Swami, like, you had a session and Swami asks questions. Usually Swami encouraged us to ask questions, and that day Swami said, I'm going to ask questions. And he said, boys, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, Swami, you are God. And Swami said, wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
Said, Swami, you are omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And Swami said, wrong answer. And then someone said, Swami, you're Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Swami said, wrong answer. And then we didn't have anything to say. And then Swami said, okay, whoever gives the right answer, I will give him a gift. And the stakes just went high.
Okay.
And immediately people started telling all sorts of answers. People went into the Ashtotri Namavali and started giving Ashtotri Namavali, Swami or the Swami or
the 108 names.
108 names, and people started doing everything. Maybe something could be right.
Okay.
Something could be right. And but Swami wasn't happy, and Swami was saying, no, all wrong answers. Then there was this particular gentleman, Mr. Appa Rao, and he was one of those Swami's old, he used to drive Swami, old drivers, and Swami got him to Kodaikanal. He's a very nice, fine gentleman. And Swami asked him, "Appa Rao, what is your answer?" Very humbly, folded his hand and said, "Swami, Swami, you are you." And Swami was so happy and his face was just glowing and he waved his hand and materialized a thick gold bracelet to him. And,
wow.
And just put it on his hand. And then Swami said, "Yes, I am I." And that point of time, we didn't really understand that very clearly what it really was. And few days later, he asked a boy who was just sitting right under his nose, because you get a chance to press his feet, which is a great opportunity, and this boy was doing that. And Swami looked at him and asked him, "Who are you?" And this boy, with a tongue in cheek, said, "Swami, I am I." And all of us burst laughing. He was a small boy there. He was my 1 year senior as well. But we all laughed and Swami had a chuckle. And then Swami suddenly became serious and said, "Are you aware of who you really are every moment, every second? Or is it just talk? Just talking,
empty talk."
Empty talk. It was a big lesson. And if I reflect back, what I could take that lesson from there is, we have to be constantly aware of that I am principle of what we really are. And if we do that, and it in our subconscious mind, instead of having thoughts which are unnecessary, if we have this I am principle in which I am divine, I am pure love, I am confident, because confidence, Swami said, is the basis of everything, right? Spirituality or your worldly success or any success or anything. I am love, I am bliss. And that I am principle is one thing which is very important. And because Swami said that, like, the difference between one person and another person is just his thoughts. If you change your thoughts, you just change your life. You just change your world. So whether the thoughts is namasmaran or thinking of the Lord or the I am principle, which subconsciously you keep telling who you really are. Like even the great sages like Ramana Maharishi,
yes,
or Nisargadatta Maharaj, they always concentrated on the highest principles of that I am.
But Amitabh, tell me, how is the I am principle going to help you in your day-to-day life, in your day-to-day challenges, in your professional life, in your personal life, in your social life?
I think it helps you to be sharp. Be sharp at work. Sharp at work. Because there's so many things to get distracted. You could totally get distracted by stress. You could totally get pulled in different directions. You could walk and you could thinking million thoughts. But if you concentrate on one particular thought, it really helps you to focus, because you have to give, like, you'll have to, when I'm sitting with a client, you have to give, sometimes they expect instantaneous solutions from you, or you have to understand their problems, or, like, each client is different. And if you have so many bundled thoughts in your mind, you just can't think clearly. So, Swami has put, okay, there are actually different ways. One is either Namasmarana or whether it's that I am thing. It keeps you focused, it keeps you confident, it keeps you on your toes, it keeps you alert, keeps you aware, and awareness is everything, right? And Swami says awareness, we had a course, I think, in MBA,
yes,
also awareness.
Yes, yes.
And that's what is that I am principle, that you are aware of who you really are. So nothing is impossible for you. Even the worst of challenges is possible. It's easy.
Because
you're not limited by
what you think is your capability.
Absolutely. And he gives that. And the second principle was, as I said, is he gives us the example, simple, beautiful examples of Prahlada and Hanuman. And like in school kids, and we used to watch these movies with him.
With Swami.
And like he used to really enjoy, and later on, he used to even break down while seeing Prahlada movie. because there's so much of, like, in the worst of situations, impossible things. Prahlada always chanted the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And things worked out. So it just gives you a leaf out of their book that if such things can, so if the Lord can do such things, if you have such confidence in Him, why will He not be able to help you in your mundane day-to-day stupid life of ours? Absolutely.
And you have benefited from it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Every day. It's like daily living. It's like daily living.
Wow. Wow. I think that is really fantastic because,
I'm trying. The ego comes in every now and then. It troubles you.
Yes.
And you think you are doing good. It's finally you think you are the doer. Easy things. You think you are the doer. And then finally when things don't work out, yeah, then you blame yourself. That's again the ego working. Yes. That's all, yeah, he says. You can't really blame, yeah, if things are not going well. Yeah. You don't blame it back to you. Yeah. It's, yeah, like,
I think the more you let the ego go and let God come in, more you operate.
It's very tricky and you could fall. Anytime
you could fall,
but yeah, the trick is, I think you have to again come up.
I think all these years of training in Bhagwan's institution gives you that edge, right? Gives you are definitely in a much stronger position to exercise more control on your ego, to open up your heart more to that consciousness.
I think the base is there now. All that matters is our effort.
Yes,
we just need to. We have to. Put in that effort.
Yes. And before we end, Amitabh, I'm tempted to ask you about the ring that is in your hand. The beautiful ring, which looks like Bhagwan has given this three stone ring. So is there a story behind that?
What had happened was, I think it was in December 1993. If I look back, it really has a subtle meaning as well. And he suddenly said that you have to follow all my teachings.
Oh, he told you one day?
Yeah, he said, I think few of us, and he told me, well, you have to follow my teachings. And to whatever understanding I knew at that point of time, I said, Swami, I will try.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami really got angry, or apparently showed displeasure, and said, there's no try means try. You have to do it. And if you see the greatest leaders in the world, it was never a question of try.
Yeah.
You have to do it, whether, yes, it is Gandhi or, yes, Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa or Abraham Lincoln. You have to do it. You can't say, yes, I'll try and lay back.
You may fail a million times, but
you have to do it. That's it. And Swami was like, you have to do it. That's leadership at the highest level. You have, yes, to do it. There's no other way. You can't give excuses.
Yes.
No, I'm Swami. I'm not feeling well today. I'll start from tomorrow. No, you have to start now. Okay, so he's so strict on that. And I said, okay, Swami, I'll do it. I think after a couple of weeks, I wrote a letter and I said, Swami, I'm able to practice 95% of the teachings, of your teachings. Of course, the teachings, what I understood, what was in my frame of mind, not really all the Satasai speaks, I'm sure I can't do that.
And but whatever, as a school kid, whatever you thought.
Whatever you knew, speak truth.
Yeah.
Important things, talk less.
Yeah.
Which Swami insisted, and like friendships.
Hmm.
Less friendship. For Swami, friendships was real no-no.
Yes.
So like friendship is only with God.
Yes.
Everyone else is your brother.
Yes.
And all those small teachings, yes, with Swami, and I wrote to Swami and said, 95% Swami, I'm doing. And so we were seated around Swami, and I just showed this chit. You can't really get up and tell Swami, I'm following all your teachings, or you can't talk to Swami unless Swami talks to you, or usually the thing is you give, yes, a letter to Swami. That is my relationship with him. So I couldn't dare to go and just speak to him on my own. So I just gave that letter and said, Swami, and Swami read it, and 95% of your teachings I'm practicing, Swami. And then Swami said, what about the 5%? He's an ultimate boss, like 100%,
oh
right?
God.
Like, and I looked at, but Swami was so happy, and mm-hmm. he said, 95% of my teaching, you're practicing, okay. And then Swami just waved his hand, and then there was so much joy and bliss, and then he took that and put it on my finger. But the point is, the importance is not really the ring, because right, if you ask any Sai student, the most important thing is not what he creates. That's at a very, let, if you take a rating from 1 to 5, that'll be in the bottom 3 or 4, which attracts a student to Swami. If you look back now, if you ask any student, yes. they'll tell you that. But the important thing is how much value he put on his teachings.
Yes.
And that is what, he has really left with all of us,
yes.
and which is going to be there forever.
Yes,
and
I think this ring is just a reminder.
Reminder, yes,
of that such a powerful incident. You know, you took that effort to put his teaching into practice, and he
at that point
instantly he rewarded you, and he wanted you to always know that he's there with you to reward you every time.
I think the beauty of it is like even though if it is not 100%, or even
yes.
though if it is 5% you're practicing,
yes.
but he makes you feel that, okay, you are doing it, so yes. that you get encouraged to follow his teachings.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And Swami is someone like, whether you do 5%, he will never leave you.
He will never leave you.
You're doing 95%, yeah, he's with you. You're doing 2% also, he's with you. He's just waiting when the 2 will become 4 and when the 4 will become 16.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much, Amitabh. I know there is so much more that you can definitely share with us, but you have to leave tomorrow, so I can't really keep you here for long. But you're most welcome to come to the studios next time when you're here, and do share. I know when you go back and when you reflect, I think as every day passes and, you know, more and more your memories come back, the more and more all those beautiful times with Bhagwan come back, because you spent like more than 2 decades with him. So, whenever you have something beautiful to share, which will really help all of us think about Swami more, help us to practice his teachings, and, you know, become that those channels of love and peace that he always wanted us to be, and even now working overtime to ensure that we become that. Anything you have beautiful to share, please, you're most welcome to come to Radio Sai, and it's really wonderful that we had this conversation. Finally, as you leave Prashanti after this New Year meet, alumni meet, it's over. What are you taking back with you from this trip back to Australia, Melbourne?
I haven't really thought of that, but I'm taking in like a lot of positivity, a lot of love. For the new year, it's going to be a very challenging year ahead, but coming to Puttaparthi, having Swami's darshan, I think fills your soul fully, and you really look forward to really to be his instrument in whatever way, in whatever small way or big way he really intends you to be. I think that's what I think at the moment.
Oh Lord, take my everything and let me become an instrument for thee.
Absolutely. I think that's what we have been taught in primary school. That's one of our prayers all our life. We've been taught that.
Yeah. And more and more you feel this is what now has to find its practical applicability now. The prayer has to now become prayer in action.
Absolutely. It's not going to be easy, if that's for sure, but...
Yeah.
I think we just need to put in effort.
But I think it's not easy, but I think that is what gives a lot of fulfillment in life.
But there's Swami always.
Has, yeah.
Wonderful. Guide us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prushti, and your team. Doing a fabulous job. And I really look forward every day for all the talks and all the fleeting moments, lasting memories. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, and do share. It really help if you share about Radio Sai with people who you think probably would benefit from our services.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that the only way to counter something unpleasant is to surround it with more fragrance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I think
beautiful.
That is the way probably we could help bring more brightness in other people's lives.
And absolutely.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Jai
Sai Ram. So that was the second and final part of our conversation with Brother Amitabh Dasgupta, a former student of Bhagwan's institutions who had the chance to study in Bhagwan's school right from grade 1 to grade 12. And after that, he did his graduation and post-graduation, and Bhagwan blessed him with the opportunity of serving in his institution inside the ashram in the Bhakti Sahayak division of the Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust for 5 years. So it's a long and deep association with Bhagwan, and as you heard, the moments that he has had with Bhagwan are so precious, so indelible, and the learnings that he has gathered is something which he cherishes and which is helping him tremendously in his professional and personal life out there. He is now in Australia, in Melbourne. We recorded this conversation in January 2014. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and please feel free to share your feedback and comments on this program, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, or any other program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are my colleagues Sunil and Abhishek. Thank you so much, and Sai Ram.